Hello and welcome to this special programme about Bridget O'Faherd. My name is Dolores Whelan and I am passionate about the need of our culture to reconnect with the divine feminine through our relationship with Bridget, goddess and saints, and to bring that connection into the way we live our daily lives. In this programme, we will hear interviews with Dr. Mary Condren, Father Tom Hamill, Dr. Alison Lennon, Maura Lennon, May Coyle, and myself will have a conversation at the St. Bridget's Shrine and Stream, and we will have music from Anne MacDonald and Etna Ní Chuilleáin Lalu. Dr. Mary Condren is a feminist theologian who works in Trinity College Dublin. She lectures worldwide on Bridget and on the Divine Feminine. Her first book, The Serpent and the Goddess, published in 1989, was a life-changing book for many women. Mary is director of Woman Spirit Ireland, which is an independent educational company where she both teaches and coordinates courses and events. She has organised and resourced many festivals of Bridget in both Ireland and overseas for 20 years.
I've been very influenced by the international connections I've made over the past 10, 15 years in particular. And in speaking about different stories in relation to Bridget or different artefacts like the kris, which is the belt, or the cloak, or the cross, you suddenly realise that these are not Irish symbols. They are international symbols of female divinity.
Yeah.
And what is really important about the Irish tradition is that, you know, whereas many feminists around the world, when they started doing rituals, they had to pull them out of the air and almost make them up as they went along. We were extraordinarily fortunate in that there was a legacy, there was a gold mine of memories, of traditions, and many of which have been preserved either by the folklorists or by the most remote parts of Ireland. My sense is that her tradition as a saint has actually inherited the old indigenous traditions of Ireland, both of the Cailleac, who was primarily a form of energy, or the Cailleaca, who were then attached to the land. In other words, you know, the words like Etna and Bowen and Sheenan and Leitha, you know, they were attached to mountains and rivers and lakes and whatever, but they were Cailleaca. And so the first imagery of, the first image of divinity is primarily cosmic energy.
Of course.
In the sense that the Cailleac created the world, and then it became attached to the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Bridget's case, it became attached to the Christian tradition in the tradition of Saint Bridget.
Yes,
And they're very different concepts, but she has inherited the richness of the old indigenous tradition.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the international traditions associated with February 1st or March 1st, depending on what part of the continent you're in, they all have to do with the midwife.
Yeah.
And then when you start exploring Bridget, all the midwifery traditions are in her, also in her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what I'm saying is it's an incredibly rich resource, but it's partly about the historical figure, it's partly about the living traditions, it's partly about the landscape, and most importantly for me has been the artifacts, understanding, you know, what the cross meant, what the cloak has meant, and particularly what the kris or the belt has meant. And that has been hugely important. One of the things that the Cailleac did, who was the energetic figure of creation, she went around the world, you know, dropping stones from her apron. She dropped and she, you know, created Loch Crew, she created the mountains and the rivers. She carried a distaff, which is also the symbol of weaving. So she was weaving nature and culture. So the cloak was the womb. And, you know, in our Bridget festivals, of course, we put out the cloak, you know, and then hope to absorb the dew overnight.
Sure.
Then bring it back in. But the weaver's beam, that's something that we haven't really explored. You know, what did it mean?
Yeah.
And so I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, what that meant, and what it means, and what it could mean for us today.
Yeah.
And it really is about, you know, women's work of weaving the fragile threads of community. in our Bridget festivals, which has been quite amazing over 25 years or thereabouts, the cloak has managed to hold very diverse people together. Like, people would come in and some of them would be atheists, agnostics or cynics, or, you know, conservative Catholics or conservative fundamentalist Protestants. But we don't talk about that kind of stuff.
No.
We just do everything non-verbally as far as we can. And the cloak becomes the container.
Yeah.
And it holds people together.
Yeah.
And on one night in particular, I remember in Canada, you know, we were having a ceilidh in the middle of the end of the evening, and there was an 85-year-old nun dancing with the head of the witch's coven, the local coven.
I love it.
That was grand. That's exactly what mercy is about.
Yes.
And it's about holding complexity.
Go to the worlds of your soul,
Anne MacDonald is an inspirational singer, songwriter, yoga teacher and healer. Her deep connection with the natural world and her deep need to connect and come home to our true nature has inspired Anne's music, songs and poetry. Over the past few years, Anne has been singing at many of the events at the Bridget of Forward Festival. Bridget's inspiration and message to us all can be heard in Anne's songs and chants, as ancient whispers, sounds and songs weave our lives into wholeness.
To the place of your creation, take off your coat and hat, my dear. Take off your coat and hat, my dear. Take off your coat and hat, my dear. Welcome home. Warm your feet by the fire, my dear. Warm your feet my dear, warm your feet by the fire, my dear, the fire of your creation. Go to the place of your creation. Drink from this well of water, my dear. Drink from this well of water.
Father Tom Hamill has been an innovative voice within the Christian tradition in Ireland, offering opportunities to adults whereby they can grow in self-knowledge, compassion and a sense of the interconnectedness of the universe. Much of Tom's work explores the importance of reconnection with the energy of Bridget, goddess and saint. He has been involved in the Bridget of Forward Festival since 2008. He lives in Dundalk, County Louth.
I wrote down three sentences that are linked up and that to me have a very important insight. The first is, to me, it's the most interesting and deep saying that ever came to us from Bridget, that she said to St. Brendan when one day that he came back from the sea, "Since first I gave myself to God, my mind has never left him." And when did she give herself to God? Was there some kind of ritual that she was made part of? "My mind has never left him." Her mind has never left him. So that's the first, and to me, there's a foundational factor there. The second basic thought is, would Jesus have said something similar? If somebody said to me, "This is what Jesus said. He said it to me in a dream, but it's true. Since first I gave myself to God, my mind has never left him." "Oh, Chuck, for God's sake, don't he give it us that out stuff? Shouldn't he a member of the Blessed Trinity? There was no giving or taken." And sure, his mind was always in God. How could it be otherwise? But it's not as simple as that. It's only when we, as I said, dig into the saying of Jesus, of Bridget, that we realize that there's something very basic here. And my third thought is this. It's another question. And this is what opens the whole thing up further for me. Are there any links here with what we call now mindfulness? The term mind, "my mind has never left him." So mindfulness for me is being totally present to every factor in my experience. And it is very difficult. People are offering courses in it now and workshops and so on like that. But I find I can do it sometimes up to a point. But I would love to be mindful of every aspect of my experience, everything that's there, everything, all the physical factors, all the emotional factors, all the people who are present, people who are absent, thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future. There is such a richness in my experience to be linked with mindfulness. And I think that's what Bridget was essentially talking about. "My mind has never left him. I am totally mindful of God." And Jesus would have said the same thing. But God here is not just somebody sitting up on a throne somewhere. God is the totality. So every aspect of nature, every aspect of one's own psyche, every aspect of one's memories and so on like that, are part of the totality that is the goal of mindfulness. Now, it's asking a lot, I suppose, to be like that, but if Bridget and Jesus could do it, why can't we? Or at least, why can't we jump in and say, "We're going to try this"? And I must say, Bridget and Jesus, since I've linked them both together on this, have become an experience of inspiration. We haven't got many, many stories. I haven't anyway, because I'm an innocent. About the early times of Bridget. The only one I can think of at the moment is the moment of her birth, when her mother placed her feet one each side of the threshold. And I think there's something there in that. Her mother, Brooksha, carrying the pails of milk and going sideways in through the doorway. And imagine Bridget, imagine you leaped out at that moment. That must be something very important. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was in some way an inspirational, a ritual for you. Maybe you didn't realize the extent of it, but that it was there. And that it would always be within you. And that you would have a foot each side of the threshold in the heavenly places and in the earthly places. God, for her, I think, is something like what I was saying there. All of nature, all of the sick people, all of the hungry people, all of the companions, all of the enemies that she had, whatever it was, the totality of that was God. The key is mindfulness, I think. Since first I gave myself to God, my mind has never left him. Would Jesus have said something similar? And are there any links here with what we call mindfulness? I think it's all links.
We are now at the site of Fochard Graveyard on Fochard Hill, and Dr. Alison Lennon will tell us about the medieval church, the site of a possible round tower, and St. Bridget's Well.
Fochard is one of the most evocatively situated early monastic sites in Ireland, and the array of monuments visible here seems to have changed little since they were first recorded in 1748, and the hilltop setting and the views from the graveyard are spectacular. In one direction you have the Stone Age fort that's been here for a couple of millennia, if not more. And then you have facing us, if you turned round, you're facing down here where the Battle of Fochard and the cattle raid of Cooley is all situated here. And then we have in this direction the Cooley Mountains, and over here we have the Gap of the Nord. What is visible here at Fochard is a semicircular graveyard containing the ruins of a church, a medieval church, a holy well, the base of a round tower, a monument known as St. Bridget's Bed, the grave of Edward the Bruce, and some penitential stations. And when you view all these collectively, the monuments are a fine example of the type of remains found in Ireland in early monastic sites and settlements. We're talking about places like Monster Boyce, Clonmacnoise and Glendalough. Fochard Graveyard can stand and hold its head alongside those monuments. There is considerable history of association of Fochard as the birthplace of St. Bridget, and she's one of the most well-known Irish saints. The Ordnance Survey letters from 1836 state the following. It is said that St. Bridget and her sister lived in this church, the church that we're going to look at in a moment, here at the graveyard, and that it was also called Kilmurra, and that a young man sought her in marriage, and to escape from him she set out one night from this church here for Castletown, which was also called Kilbroyne. And she passed along a small river at Ballochnamade at Sleave Gullion that runs south-east between Fochard and Castletown and into the Bay of Dundalk. Finding him in pursuit of her, she knelt down at a bush on the bank and plucked out her eye, and thus escaped recognition by him. It is said that after this incident, St. Bridget remained at Kilbroyne, while her sister continued to live at Kilmurra in Fochard. The life of St. Bridget, which was written in 650 AD by the cleric Cogitosus, a monk of Kildare, recorded a list of miracles associated with St. Bridget. And the 1st of February is held as St. Bridget's feast day. Fochard Hill has a number of shrines associated with the veneration of the saint, and we're going to actually go in now to the graveyard and look at some of these monuments. We're actually standing in the graveyard, and it contains the ruins of this church and other monuments. And can I tell you that the church itself is considerably overgrown by vegetation and planting. There was excavations here in 1966, and they revealed that the walls were built on boulder clay, which is a type of clay containing large stones, and they were unmortared. In other words, there was very little mortar between many of the stones. And the west wall was built above an occupation layer, which means that the archaeologists archaeologists could tell that it was dated to the 12th century, maybe a little bit earlier, indicating that the earliest part of the existing church is likely to be from the 12th century and therefore the medieval period. In 1744, Isaac Butt, who was a well-known traveller, he travelled all over Ireland. He was a botanist, but he also recorded the remains of many ruins and monuments in Ireland. And he provided us with an account of the church and graveyard from 1744. The old church of Fahard is upon a hill 1.5 miles from Dundalk. It has been considerable, but all in ruins. There has been to the west of the church a large fine cross which is pulled down and broken, and 5 paces from it there is a small circle of stones edgeway in the ground, 2 larger than the rest, and they compose the entrance. And the place is capable of containing 6 persons. The place faces east, and at a small distance from this church northward, there is a good well of spring water, which lathers very well, and it's covered with a stone arch in bad repair. Actually, one of the things Butt did was he examined the mineral content of curative wells. So he had a look here at the curative wells in St. Bridget's. And in the course of that, he described the sort of ruined monuments we're looking at now. We've moved further into the graveyard, and we now come across a very interesting monument. Now, I'm going to argue that a round tower is possible rather than proven. This site hasn't been excavated. There's a single course of large stones forming a circle, very large circle actually, which again adds to the argument that it could have been a round tower. And it is consistent with the base of a substantial tower. It's located to the northwest of the church. The large dimensions of the individual stones and the fact that they are worked to the curve makes them plausible as representing those of a round tower, although they are probably have been disturbed at some stage. One of the stones to the west of the circle appears to be a fragment of a stepped offset stone. It can be assumed that a tower was at least begun on this site. This is what the argument is. We don't have any written references to a round tower here at this particular site, here in the graveyard. But this size of a circle, these dimensions, means that it certainly looks as if a tower was begun. So there may have been some attempt to build a round tower here, although, as I say, I don't want to argue that there was actually a tower here at any stage. Another interesting thing is that we actually found an undated cist, when I say we, archaeologists actually found an undated cist burial. Now, a cist was a type of tomb. It consisted of 4 stone walls with another stone sort of lid over the top of it. And again, they're sort of from the Mesolithic period, these cist graves. They're quite common. We found a number of them in Ireland. They are part of the sort of group of monuments like dolmens, etc., all associated with ritual and burial. And part of one was found here. And the cist was aligned east-west. And when the covering stone was lifted, they found foot bones of a single human. I'm now standing in front of what's probably my favourite part of the graveyard here at Fahard. It's an absolutely lovely holy well. It's a sort of cone-shaped, and there's steps leading down to the well itself. And there's actually a little cup hung on the wall that people can come in and take some of the holy water from the well. It is indicated on the first edition of the Ordnance Survey map for Louth, but the present structure, while we believe there was a well here for many hundreds of years, this present structure that I'm looking at now, that I've described as a sort of stone cone shape, it is of an early 20th century date. And it's actually approached, you go down a flight of steps, again, that we know were built in the 20th century. But again, it builds up this idea of this site between our Iron Age sort of mound and this all its association with various legends like the Cattle Raid of Curly. This site here where we're standing, Fahard Graveyard, the hill it's built on, was a very important site throughout the history of Louth. On one leg of Jesus.